Ah, yes, it is another edition of yes. Overreaction Monday, yes. but the first we've ever done without games being played. It's the Scouting Combine edition of Overreaction Monday. Right. Rich Eisen along with Chris Brockman. Good
What's
to
up,
see you,
brother,
sir.
Man?
How are you?
How's it going? How was Indy?
It was great.
Looked awesome.
It was great. I will say this.
Broadcast was phenomenal.
I know they've already announced that the Combine is in Indianapolis next year, but it seems to be going on a year-to-year basis because the league is trying to figure out, do they want to take it on the road like it's the draft?
I say no.
I say no, too.
Yeah, keep it there.
I understand the league's thought process, and I know personally the commissioner does not like to let grass grow underneath something just because it's the way it's always been done.
Right.
Like Roger Goodell, always, since he took over the commissionership all those many moons ago, put everything up for grabs in terms of being reimagined yep. or rethought, recast. However, honestly, he's always up for trying to see if anything can be improved or changed. That the idea of like, well, this is the way it's always been done is immediately makes him probably want to change something. But that said, just the mere convenience of the stadium in proximity to the hotel where the players are, in proximity to where other hotels are for everyone to stay there, from coaches to scouts to media to agents to the proximity to restaurants and how you can walk around.
And it's a connected city. You don't have to go outside.
And apparently it's also a connected city from, I didn't know this until this year, that prior to building Lucas Oil Stadium, they connected the stadium fiber optically to the hospitals in the area.
Oh, wow.
So if somebody takes an MRI in the stadium, it immediately goes to the hospitals.
Wow.
And something can be looked at fast. And so the general sense I got from people were that if they changed it to go somewhere else, there would be less participation for coaches and whatnot.
I think that adding the fans and creating atmosphere and just more energy in the building, I thought that was a great fix.
I agree. It was a great week, so that's my long-winded answer to how it was. This Overreaction Monday, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code OVERREACTION, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? You got a whole bunch of stuff
coming off of the scouting combine.
Free agencies around the corner. There's lots to talk
we'll get
about.
To that next week.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have?
Okay, Rich, it's all about the quarterbacks. It's always been about the quarterbacks. DJ has 4 in the top 8. I'm going to say 5 go in the top 20 this year.
Oh, that's a given. I think that is not an overreaction.
A given.
Yeah. The first 3 quarterbacks may go off the board in the first 3 picks. And if Drake May doesn't go 3rd overall and suddenly Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board and then Drake May drops to 4 and there's Arizona sitting there, does somebody swap spots with Arizona there? Do they not take Malik Nabers? Do they get more picks and keep on dropping down? Because I would say the Chargers would love to get out of 5 if they could. So that would be a spot. Mm-hmm. And you'd want to leapfrog in front of the Chargers, which is my point of saying if it's not the first 3 picks, it's definitely the first 4 or 5 picks that 3 goes. And then I think J.J. McCarthy gets pushed up into the top 10 by somebody at 11, 12, or 13, Minnesota, Denver, Raiders, popping back in because it's not too far to go at 7 for the Titans might want to trade out.
Yep.
8, the Falcons may just take McCarthy or Penix. I think top 25 quarterbacks going, that is not an overreaction right
so
now, even though there's a ton of receivers
has played his
and
way
tackles.
Into the 20 now.
Yes, I think
after that, what he did over the weekend.
I think it's not just what he did over the weekend. I just think that there's no doubt in my mind quarterbacks get pushed up. That they get pushed up.
Especially the closer we get to the draft.
Right. And then the fascinating one would be if the Steelers stand pat on Pickett and stand pat on Pickett by also just bringing Mason Rudolph back. And they're sitting there at 20 and Penix is sitting out there. Did the Steelers make me a prophet or they just make me silly for saying this is not an overreaction right now?
I don't have it, but I saw a mock that had Penix to the Seattle Seahawks.
What number are they?
That's again, I don't know, but I was like, okay. Ooh, okay. That's
well, I'd proffer to say that this is not an overreaction.
Okay. I'm kind of shocked to hear you say that.
You thought you'd start with me calling something an overreaction.
I did, actually.
Okay.
No, maybe in a month, I'll have six in the first round. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I've got the draft order right here for the National Football League draft, and the Seattle Seahawks are drafting 16.
Okay.
So you've just basically said right there, you saw a mock where it's five in the first.
That's what I saw on Monday. Sir. Okay. All right, let's...
New Orleans 14 also. They might be looking at, post Derek Carr. I don't think that's an overreaction. What else you got over there?
The story of the weekend at the Combine, Xavier Worthy, Rich. That was incredible. What a moment. 4-2-1. He is a lock to go in the first round now after setting the Combine record.
I don't think so. Lock in the first round? That's an overreaction there.
Chiefs at 32? Why not?
Because... I would take, say, Ladd McConkey to go to the Chiefs over Xavier Worthy.
He had a good combine.
Yeah, he did. You know, like if the Chiefs are looking for a wide receiver, it's funny. Daniel Jeremiah was saying during the broadcast, and you'll hear him on Tuesday's edition of our
flagship show.
The Chiefs are now in the realm of the Patriots of – back in the day, everyone's just like, oh, God, that guy looks like a Patriot. That guy is the last guy that you want to go to the Patriots because he's going to go kill it. The Chiefs are now in that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ladd McConkey being 32nd overall and being the guy that can go. And now with Rashee Rice and Kelce and what we expect to be maybe his final year, that's the way you go to work. Unless some left tackles are available.
Yeah.
And that's my point as well to try and answer this question. Is that there are so many talented tackles. There are so many talented wide receivers that I don't even think Xavier Worthy, despite how fast he is, he's going to beat out a bunch of guys that are top 32 for sure. Mm-hmm. Then you've got those tackles and those receivers and the quarterbacks that we're choosing. Then you've got about three corners. I'd imagine two, if not three, front seven guys.
Yeah,
I don't think Xavier Worthy is going to be a first round draft choice just because he ran a 4-2-1. He may.
He's on people's radars now, though. That's for sure.
I know that, but I'll call this an overreaction.
All right.
Let's talk Game Time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, EISEN, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's stick to wide receivers, Rich. Marvin Harrison famously did not work out, didn't even show, no-showed for his interview portion. He's not going to be the first wide receiver taken in Detroit.
So who would be? Roma Dunze over him?
I got to say, he kind of showed out over the weekend, right?
I know he did. Would it be Malik Nabers who also didn't do much?
But we'll see his pro day coming up this
month. Listen, I was told Marvin Harrison Jr. Did everything he needed to do with the meetings
Okay.
He met with the teams that wanted to meet with him.
Okay.
And that he was just so good on the field that he asked everybody in the meetings room, like, do I need to do anything else here for you? And they essentially all said to him, no.
Do we know what teams he met with?
I don't know which teams he met with.
Maybe that'll get
but
out.
But apparently he showed up. He did what he needed to do in terms of the meetings rooms and asked everybody, what else do you need to see from me? Is there anything else I need to do?
Okay.
And that's why he did his workout weight and reps with the defensive lineman who did it first. So he, I think, had it pegged to just get out of Dodge as soon as he was done with the meeting rooms. And just this is the way it's going to go now, man. You know, I totally agree with Mike Florio, our friend from Pro Football Talk. He put out a post. He wrote a post to say that he thinks one day we're nearing the point where a player will just say, I'm not going to the combine, which is going to be, I think, an annoyance.
Yeah.
This player really better be the surefire first overall pick of the draft if he chooses to take that approach. Mm-hmm. But do you really think the New England Patriots, if they want to take him because they've already gotten the quarterback position filled through free agency, that they wouldn't take him third overall because he decided to leave? And there was some miscommunication apparently with the combine that they didn't know he had left already and held his podium to say he's coming.
It wouldn't dissuade me from taking him.
No.
But,
so that's
the
point.
I'm not running a team or, you know, in charge of personnel. And
plus, Marvin Harrison Sr. wasn't the biggest talker.
Right? So kind of.
Maybe he passed it down to his son. I would be really stunned. Although Romo Odunze was really good and really terrific. And
a bigger, faster Devontae Adams.
And kind of did the opposite of how Marvin Harrison handled the combine, where he spoke. He was engaging with everybody.
And he wouldn't leave.
And he just would not stop running. He did the three-cone drill when everyone was gone.
He kept clipping the one cone, right?
Right, and I saw a video DJ showed me, Daniel Jeremiah, of the final drill, one of the final runs at the three-cone drill that he did. Mm-hmm. There's a shot of the timers that were there that were so surprised by the numbers that they saw on the stopwatch that even though he did do the drill without touching the cones, they made him do it one more time because they thought there was a malfunction. That's how good he is. But I don't think it's still going to prevent Marvin Harrison from hearing his name first in the wide receiver class. He's going to have a real short night in Detroit.
He doesn't last past four, right?
He doesn't last past three, pal.
Oh.
I don't. Well, wait a minute. Past four because the Patriots have traded down or the Patriots have made
quarterback,
the pick?
Or they trade down or something?
Yeah, I mean, Arizona will make him first off the board if it's quarterbacks in a row.
Right.
They'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. and introduce him to Kyler Murray.
And a pew.
Pew. Oh, by the way, I saw him at the at the combine.
And?
Yeah, we had a nice chat.
Okay.
I told him congratulations. I told him. I said you had a good season to Jonathan Gannon. He goes, we only won four games. I'm like, yeah, but you were in every single game.
Expectations were zero.
He didn't have the same approach as we have had talking about him.
You tell him he was solid?
I did not tell him.
He was solid.
I didn't tell him.
All right.
There were fireworks in our conversation.
Okay, great. Well done.
Thank you.
I think this is kind of spicy, Rich. Speaking of Rome Odunze, if the Bears take Caleb and Rome, they're going to have a top five quarterback wide receiver trio this year?
Man, it really does depend on how fast Caleb gets it. That there's going to be some, one would think.
I think he's going to be awesome.
Some some form of getting used to it. Unless, do you really think he comes out like Cam? Like first game,
he comes out
300 yards?
Yeah, it's possible. And, really possible.
Because, I mean, Patrick Mahomes' first few starts in the NFL, his first full season of being the quarterback.
50 touchdowns that year.
Dude, he was insane.
Yeah.
He had a 6-touchdown game, I think, at one point.
It's going to be possible that Caleb is just unbelievable.
Caleb Odunze and DJ Moore.
Yep, now I'm talking.
Is a significant trio. And, of course, you'll also have a run game that we imagine will be improved. Mm-hmm. And then Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet coming on last
Dude,
year.
That's why the Bears fans should be so jacked up.
They should be.
That was my number one rumor I heard at the Combine is this thing's toast. That as much as Jaden Daniels had a better final year than Caleb did, and they're both Heisman Trophy winners, that the Bears are still taking the Heisman Trophy winner from 2 years ago over the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. I think that thing's done. I think it is an So I don't think that's a top five trio. Top five. So
quarterback, wide receiver.
Hold a minute. Oh, okay.
Travis Kelce doesn't count there. So
wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Two wide receivers. Quarterback.
I think Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek are still top. Right.
Okay. I agree.
I'm assuming Burrow's back healthy, and we've got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins has been franchised as a part of this conversation.
He might get traded.
But that you have to include that there.
Sure.
Eagles, Hurts, and A.J. Brown.
And Devontae Smith.
Yep. We don't know about Cousins and who else is going to be there with Justin Jefferson.
No. Nope.
I mean, Addison, obviously. But
Niners? You want to put Purdy and Debo?
Purdy
and
Debo and Ayuk
in there?
I mean, they're in the conversation, right? Or, dude... Stafford, Kupp, and Nakua is top five.
Okay. I hear you.
That's top five,
I hear you. That's nice.
So we're sounding it out, and this makes me think this is more of an overreaction. Is now my first reaction was, you're onto something here.
I don't know.
But now that I'm sounding it out, dude. Okay. Now we're sounding it out.
We're just talking.
I mean.
What about Stroud, Nico, and Tank Dell?
They're in the conversation. You have to, based on what we just saw this year from that group.
Odell, Zay, and Lamar?
Odell, I don't think he's going to be back in Baltimore.
Okay.
I'm already hearing that.
Okay.
So I don't know who they're going to add. But by the way, Stafford, Kupp, and Nakua.
That's a nice one.
Is top five.
Great pull.
All right. So I'll call this an overreaction. That was like a who wants to be a millionaire answer.
Like
I sounded it out. Regis, my final answer is overreaction.
It's going to be nice.
Game time tickets. Get the app and put it on your phone right now or mobile device and start buying tickets to all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Susie on Monday night took Cooper to a hoops game here in Los Angeles, got the tickets through Game Time, and we were going back and forth about how much it costs, and we were going back and forth about where the seats are because you have a view from your seat. You get the all-in pricing. It made it so easy for us to make a decision to say, those are the two tickets. So Sue's taking Cooper to a game on Monday night, and Game Time made it so simple. No punches pulled. You can get last-minute deals right up until tip-off or when your event starts, and even an hour after it starts, by making sure you take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time by downloading the app, create an account, and use our code OVERREACTION. You get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, GameTime.com for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code, spell it OVERREACTION, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Again, it's GameTime.co. Sorry to keep changing up. GameTime.co to get your $20 off your first purchase with the code OVERREACTION.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, second half. Boom. Hit it, Chris. What do you
second
got?
Second half, Rich. More quarterback talk. Kirk Cousins. He's going to be somewhere else other than Minnesota in 2024.
We had Kevin O'Connell in the booth during our combine coverage. Okay, we had him sit there with Daniel Jeremiah and yours truly. And the day before, he was coming around making the rounds and said, it was funny. He goes, you get one Kirk Cousins question.
That's
what he said.
Wow.
You get one. I'm like, well, what if the over-under is 1.5? Because maybe you get a push because I might need a follow-up.
I won't
be all in on following up. I'm not going to grill you. I said, what if it's 1.5 and you take the under? And he goes, okay.
Okay.
It's kind of like a curb moment. Like,
he agreed to those terms. Okay.
So so I asked him, like, what is the status between you and Kirk Cousins? And his answer was quite fascinating, where he said Kirk's a process guy. So he knows he's going to go through the process of being a free agent. And he hopes that, you know, that at the end of the day, they'll figure all something out.
And he comes back.
That he didn't say that those words.
But the indication was
there's ways of looking at it. One, that he's sharing that he's a process guy, that he's going to hit free agency to kind of prep the Vikings fans that he's going to hit free agency.
Okay.
Two is that they're not going to franchise tag him, although they might not have been able to anyway. Three, all right, the other indication to me is he's kind of setting it up that if we don't sign him...
Not my fault.
Or four, this is his way of saying he's not coming back. I don't know what it is.
I honestly don't know what it is. This is kind of one of the sneaky big storylines as we get ready for free agency.
Who's
going
to want to pay $40 to $50 million for a quarterback?
A team that thinks that they can win right now.
Well, take a look at them. I mean, the Falcons appear to be that team, right?
I think they think that they can win right now.
And they also didn't want to spend that sort of money on a quarterback, which is why they didn't want to go for Lamar and give up two firsts as well as sign a contract that the Ravens might just match.
Right.
So it's a different sort of free agency.
Yep.
But the money's there. I mean, the slot is there, one would think, because they don't already have somebody that's insanely expensive. The Raiders have moved on from Jimmy G. G getting popped.
That's a spot
for what, PEDs or whatever.
Something.
Helped save the Raiders some money.
But we're not really talking about Kirk Cousins for that team.
Nobody is. But I mean, I think Ian Rappaport on Monday's show even called that unlikely.
Yeah.
I don't think the Steelers are going to do that.
I mean, New England has the cap space. But that's an older guy.
And they're not ready for him. They're not ready to win with him right
now.
No,
New England's not going to make the playoffs next year.
So it makes sense for him to return, but there is a sense where I think he's going back there. I think he's going back there.
For a hometown discount?
I don't know. But I can't call this an overreaction. I can't say that you're out of your mind. So I'll call that just because, again, the fact that I heard he's hitting free agency is what at least that's what Kevin O'Connell said on the weekend, two weekends before this actually happened.
Window.
Yes.
Yeah.
What else?
Okay. We've talked about this a lot. We had some phone calls on the Monday show about it. I think the Steelers would be insane to run it back with Pickett and Rudolph this year. That is insane.
But what are the alternatives?
There's lots.
Give them to me.
Justin Fields.
I like that one.
Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins. The draft. There's six guys who have first-round ability.
Well, they're 20th overall, right?
So they are in Penix, Bo Nix.
What if they want another receiver? What if one of these studly receivers are sitting out there? Oof. I mean, the Steelers could really add another nice new weapon. And
but the issue is getting the weapon, the ball.
Really like Kenny Pickett and feel because they've won with gritty guys before. I know he's not Big Ben, but he's a Pittsburgh guy. They love his work ethic. They love everything about him, man. For real. So I
guess it's not for me to get, but I don't get it.
Well, here's why, okay, and I understand it. We just saw, again, what you need to have, who you need to have to win it all in this league. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've seen it three of the last 4 years.
Right. But you've now also seen somebody with some significant moxie, heart, guts, heads, ability to run, pass. In Brock Purdy, surrounded with the right people and the right system, you can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. We just saw that. Brock Purdy took a lead in overtime of a Super Bowl. Okay? So their thoughts are, we've got Pickens. Right now, Deontay Johnson, there's rumor. I guess they're wanting maybe to trade him.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they don't want to pay him.
Right.
And there's so many talented kids in the draft. Just get another one.
Well, that didn't work out for the Titans.
I understand. But I think A.J. Brown's a little bit better than Deontay Johnson.
Sure.
Significantly. But I understand your point.
Yeah.
So this is the thought process behind the Steelers, that all we got to do is surround them with the right people. And we've already got some good people. And Arthur Smith's the coordinator now. Let's go to work with him, as opposed to trading a night two pick for Justin Fields, who we will have to hire and make a fifth-year option decision on within 2 months of hiring him. And then you've got Pickett on his first contract, too. And then what are we going to do here? You know what I'm saying? Like, because Pickett's sitting there, what are you going to have Justin Fields look over his shoulder because the favorite son from 2 years ago is on a rookie contract, too?
I don't know, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if the fans are behind Pickett.
Insane is a tough word. It's a tough word, but I understand why fans are going to be like, we need our own Mahomes, and he ain't it. So, but what if he's the Purdy, right?
Well, Purdy didn't his first 2 years. His first 2 years, Pickett has 13 touchdowns.
But he also didn't, have McCaffrey or Kittle or, come on now.
I guess the weaponry
there is really impressive.
Yeah.
And of course, the guys and the headset is the one calling the plays. They finally seem to have gotten that right, too. That's their thought process. Okay. So,
well, I feel like we're going to be talking about this.
I understand it, though, but I'll call that an overreaction at the moment.
All right. A couple of things we didn't get to that haven't been too talked about much. All the new rules changes. I'm sure you heard a lot about this. The onside kick, all the kickoff stuff. It was so confusing to me. The onside kick should be a fourth and whatever play. Any other tweak is pointless.
I'm with you.
Pointless.
But that's too much for the league. The league thinks that's a gimmick play. Fourth and whatever. You know, what is it? Fourth and 15 from where?
Fourth and 18. Whatever.
But the problem with that is, then why wouldn't
the ball off?
Then why wouldn't somebody constantly just keep on a pass, you know, interfering with a pass? Why wouldn't they just blow somebody up? Why would you play that straight up?
Well, if the defense commits a penalty, then it's all.
Then it's an automatic first down? You're going to really have that happen? Like, you're going to put it in the vagaries of somebody just grabbing a jersey. Now suddenly you've lost possession of a football?
Treat it like a Hail Mary then.
Which is what? You never call the penalty?
Never, but it has to be insanely egregious.
But that's just one launch into the end zone.
But what they're explaining now and all this different, like the XFL rule or something, it was so confusing. You had to read it 10 times to figure it out.
It can get explained a little bit better. It can get codified a little bit better. I need to read this. I do love this idea, but every single time we talk about it with Pereira or Blandino or Sterator or anybody who's been on our show, they're like, well, where do you place the ball and what happens if there's a penalty on it? You can't just, it can't just be an automatic first down where suddenly the defense gets a bad call on them or somebody gets, you know, toasted and they pull on somebody and now you've lost possession of the football and your entire game that you've been up by two scores and it flips because of one defensive penalty.
Why don't we just try it for a year and see what happens?
But what's the it? Again, where do you put it? Where do you want to put it?
Put it where they kick off. Put it at the 30.
The 30. So your first down's on the 45-yard line.
Or the 48 or whatever. It's a fourth and 18 play or something. Let's just try it.
And then the it is what? What if there's a penalty on it?
Let's just see how many times it happens.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be, I'd rather, instead of it being a fresh set of downs, it's a 5-yard penalty or a 10-yard penalty.
Or if it's, you know, if it's a holding, it's
but
5 yards.
But it's not an automatic first down.
Now it's fourth and 13.
What if it's pass interference, though?
5 yards, fourth and 30. You got to complete
but
the pass.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like anybody that goes past the 18 yards, so then you get, you're giving a free rein to the defense to just keep on messing with your receiver and blowing them up. Like, I'd rather just keep on hitting somebody.
I guess my point is the onside kick used to be something that was super exciting,
right?
And it actually happened.
Well, what they ended up doing,
it's down to like 2%.
Well, it's what they ended up doing is they came up with a rule for kickoffs about having a certain number of people on either side of the kicker, right, to try and make it safer. And now this play is become
out.
It's been totally destroyed because of it. So let's come up with a better way for the onside kick to work. But let me. I need to read the rule. I'll just push back and call this an overreaction. I do love that play. I do love the idea of like 4th and 18, but you've got to figure out the problem of what happened. Like, the defense cannot be given free rein to just blast a receiver.
And also, the one of the things was you have to announce that you're doing it, so that eliminates the surprise onside kick.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
Like, what?
I know. On the Pro Football Talk post of that, they had the moment at the top of the second half of the Super Bowl between the Saints and the Colts.
Yeah, that was the picture. Yeah.
So I'm with you on that front too. But I'll call that an overreaction until we can figure out how the defense can be held to account so they don't have to continuously allowed to grab and pull.
I get it.
And then thus the defense, though, isn't now subject to one penalty, flips their entire fortune of a game that they've been dominating. I got to figure that out. And I think that's too gimmicky for a lot of old school owners. So let's hear what the other idea
hopefully
is.
They can come up with something. Yes. All right, last one. And maybe you heard some more about this over the weekend. I'd be curious your thoughts there.
Sure.
It'd be a mistake to add an 18th game to the regular season schedule.
Here's what I think needs to be done, because I think it is inevitable. I've heard it over and over and over and over again. You've heard it from fans over and over and over again. Boy, would it be great to have a national holiday the day after the Super Bowl, and thus pushing the season another week into the future.
Or you could just have the Super Bowl on Saturday.
It would in fact have a President's Day weekend, the Super Bowl every year. The NBA wouldn't like having
with the 18th game. Yeah.
But the 18th game would eventually shove the season deep enough where the Super Bowl is on President's Day weekend every year. Now, the issue with that is everything else would have to be pushed back. You're already hearing some complaints at the Combine of how quickly the Combine happens and how fast the new league year comes around after that.
It does.
Okay.
It's true.
But I understand player safety issues are significant here. The one thing that I also heard from a coach at the Combine that is of interest is, what's with the inactives? What's with the making you cut your roster down on game day by announcing people as inactive? Why can't everybody be active?
Yeah, why do we? Because it's 8 guys. It's 53 to 45. Right.
Why don't you add more players? I mean, it's more of a salary that you're paying.
A game day bonus.
But why don't have it like college, where it's just like 80 people are up on a Sunday, 70 people are up on a Sunday.
Yeah, well, you have a 53 plus your practice squad. So you have
everybody's up. So what's with the practice? Practice squad's up. You're not elevating anybody from your practice squad, and you're not deactivating somebody who's been practicing all week. Like, what gives? Like, why not? Yeah. Like, what's the big deal? Like, why are you making
people
inactive? So I heard that.
Okay.
So maybe the give and take, because the coaches are also flipping out in the fact that the give from the league in the last collective bargaining agreement to the players. And I'm sure some players are like, we shouldn't have just given it up because there's a lot of money at stake here, is the practice schedule.
Right.
There's a bunch of coaches that want to get their hands on players right now and get a new playbook in their hands. And they can't until the off-season workout program happens in the middle of April. I pushed back and told the coach who was talking to me about this. I'm like, well, I just remember when stuff happened when at the very beginning of NFL Network, everything that was supposedly voluntary for a player was considered mandatory by the coach, and that got out of hand.
Right.
Where suddenly, well, you're not here in early March. Well, you're not here for the team. Right. Wait a minute, I can't have you, you know, in tell you need to be at the facility in late February.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, this OTA that's voluntary, you're not here. Guess what? We're going to consider this mandatory, even though it's technically voluntary. It got out of hand, so they had to actually put some guardrails up. So when you say to making a mistake to add an 18th regular season game to the schedule, I understand you're talking about player safety. You're also talking about diluting a product.
I'm also talking about load management. What's going to stop guys from just sitting out weeks 15, 16, 17, 18? Like, if you already have your playoff spot locked up, why would Patrick Mahomes play in the last 3 weeks?
No, and I understand that, because you also need to get a rhythm going. I mean, how many of those top seeds that sat out? You know, it took the Ravens and the Niners a bit to get started their divisional playoff victories. And the Niners had to pull that one out of the fire. The Ravens just like got all fired up at halftime and just destroyed the Texans.
I guess.
But that's why I'm saying, like, if you do it, why not get more jobs and just keep people up? You know what I mean? Yeah. What's with the five inactives? That's what the coach is saying. We're like, what are we doing? Why can't we have them active?
I think that's
so
fair.
So I'll push back and call that an overreaction. But you'll have to do it in conjunction with some other moves, like make more players available.
When is it coming? Give me a year.
Oh, like, I don't know. Next collective bargaining agreement, when the hell that is.
So 4 or 5 years, something
probably.
Like that.
Okay. Whatever. I don't know how much is left, but but I think it is inevitable. That's it for this edition of Overreaction Monday. We are back next week on a Wednesday because the new league year begins on the Wednesday that we're going to be broadcasting. Coming to you with another podcast, but that'll be after the 2-day window where everybody's already talking.
The tampering.
No. Apparently not tampering. You know, you're legally able to start talking dollars and cents with people who are not franchise tagged, who are free agents. So by the next time we're going to be talking to this microphone, we'll know who's pretty much going where, and it'll just become official when the new league year hits. And that's our next edition of Overreaction Monday. But for the moment, thanks for taking in this show right here, Chris Brockman, along with Rich Eisen. Hope you enjoyed this post-NFL Scouting Combine edition.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.